بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the issue of developing taqwa. And I said, as I mentioned to you and remind myself and you, that Ramadan al-Kareem came to assert this, to show this, and to reinforce this. So let us take this opportunity to do two things. One is to assess ourselves and say, what is the level of my taqwa as demonstrated and as seen by my actions? Because that's the only thing which counts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. It's not all the talk we do. It is, what do we act? How do we act? So let us make an assessment. Let us assess ourselves and say, what is my life showing? Do I have taqwa or I do not have taqwa? And the second one is to say, how can I change that? Believe me, if there are signs of deliberate disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, if there are signs of deliberate disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life or my life, then we do not have taqwa. As simple as that. Taqwa is the sign of taqwa has to be there to, that is the evidence that we will present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to find this evidence in our lives. I'm not talking about things that happen, for example, if I'm praying five times a day, but the quality of my salah is, you know, it's full of forgetfulness and this and that and so on and so. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying somebody who deliberately does not pray. Right? I'm not talking about weakness. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Inshallah, we ask Allah to forgive our weaknesses. Allah, we ask Allah to forgive what we forget. I'm talking about deliberate. Somebody who deliberately does not pray. Somebody who deliberately does not fast. Somebody who deliberately does not pay zakat. And tries to do all kinds of shenanigans in trying to escape, within quotes, zakat. Somebody who borrows money on interest. I don't have to say deliberate, because there's no way you can do that accidentally. Somebody who's who is rude and who's abusive and who is, you know, foul-mouthed, and somebody who is constantly engaged in ghiba and backbiting and slander. Somebody who is trying to harm other people, whether they are Muslim or not. All of these things are signs of the absence of taqwa. So let us use this time in Ramadan to assess ourselves and say, what is the evidence that I am going to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was a person of taqwa and I was trying my best to be a better person of taqwa? Inshallah, this is sufficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy did not specify a metric to say that you must have taqwa to be measured in this way, or you must have taqwa like Rasulullah had or any of the Sahaba had. Allah didn't make that, didn't give that criteria. Allah left the door open for anyone who has sincerity and who makes an effort, not who talks about that. So let us be very, very clear about that. I also say to the ulama, especially to the ulama, speak openly and clearly and state what is halal and state what is haram. Don't create loopholes and don't look for loopholes for your friends and supporters and donors for them to escape through that, because those are loopholes are not loopholes. They are the loop of the noose around the neck. And on the Day of Judgment, when that noose is tightened and when that donor of yours is hanging with that from that noose, he's going to take you with him. Because you are the one who gave him those loopholes. And you are the one who told him, this is okay. This is makruh, it is not haram. In such a situation, you can give bribes, even though Rasulullah said it is haram. If a certain percentage of your income is haram, it doesn't matter, even though Rasulullah never made a percentage on the halal or the haram of the interest. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade everything which was haram, irrespective of the quantity. And this is from the basic fundamental usul of the Sharia. Something which is haram is haram in totality, irrespective of the quantity. But we have chosen to make some things less and more haram. The same people who are giving fatwa to say that up to 15% of haram income in your overall income is okay, up to 20%, up to 30% of haram in your income combined with halal is okay. Ask those same people, how much pork can I eat? Ask the same people. I'm not eating pork day and night, but if I'm eating 3 meals a day, can I eat pork in one meal? That is 30%, 33%, right? Can I eat pork once in a week? Can I eat pork once in a month? Same people, ask them this. Tell me, give me a fatwa. You're giving me a fatwa here saying so much haram is permissible. Give me a fatwa saying so much of pork is permissible. We have made the choices. We have made borrowing on interest less blameworthy than eating pork, because we don't like to eat pork anyway. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not declare war on the one who eats pork, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who deals in interest. Tobacco products, cigarettes, BDs, gutkas, all the stuff, right? Addictive, harmful, severely harmful. But we say, no, it's makruh. As if to do something makruh is a good deed, is a hasana. Why? Because the people who are giving these fatwas, you must ask them to show you their, most of them don't keep account, but if they did, ask them, who are your donors? And you have the answer. Speak the truth, because on the day of judgment, you will be called to account. If you hide the truth, if you manipulate the truth, if you use the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you to create loopholes for people who are indulging in haram to escape, believe me, they will not escape and you will not escape. Because on the day of judgment, they are going to call you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are going to say, I did what this man or this woman, within quotes, permitted me to do. Please understand, you have no authority whatsoever to permit what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade. You have no authority whatsoever to permit what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave. You have no authority whatsoever to prohibit what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted. Speak with courage and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stand with you. Your provider is Allah, not your donor. If the donor is doing something wrong, point your finger and tell him what you are doing is haram. Don't make the ta'wil to say, well, you know, even if he is doing haram, what he is donating to me, after all, is a gift for me and gift is halal, so therefore I can take it. Even if you take it, at least tell him that you are going into the hellfire if you continue with this. And I would say don't even take it, but I mean up to you. My brothers and sisters, please understand this. That's why I keep saying, don't make money out of Islam, because the first thing it does is it hangs you. It puts a lock on your tongue. When you should be speaking the truth, you are thinking of whichever wealthy, you know, person is supporting you, and you are singing a tune which he finds or she finds pleasant, and you don't say what you need to say. Please speak the truth. Fear no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because on the day of judgment, that person is not going to take your hisab. Allah is going to take your hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to protect you from yourself and protect me from myself and protect all of us from ourselves and from shaitan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.